Nearly 1.6 million Americans age 13 and up identify themselves as transgender. Now, recent controversies have highlighted the push in the medical community to reform permanent surgeries to transition from one gender to another, with the first phase beginning at any age with parental consent. But while many in the media are focused on protecting transgendered rights, those who have done transition and returned back to their natural born gender have often been largely ignored. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this episode of 360 View, we're going to talk to a controversial figure who, after starting his transition, changed his mind, and who is now an advocate against youth transgender surgeries. Let's get started. There are very few in society who can look at themselves and say they are 100% happy with their physical self. In fact, we have built a multi-billion dollar industry in plastic surgery, fashion, and fitness for those who would like to adjust their looks more to their liking. But if you decide you want to change everything about your physical being, which goes along with a certain gender, the discussion goes from minor tweaks to lifelong major physical and emotional undertakings. And while this is no simple decision, unfortunately, in recent society, it seems like this is a growing trend, which is the latest push by the woke movement. Sadly, just like one might realize they made a mistake when they changed their hair color or style of clothing, some can realize they made a mistake in their transition of gender. It is this community of transition regret who find themselves lacking the support they need to go back to their original birth gender. And while this group is small in number, maybe only 8 to 10% of those who have gone or started through the transition process, joining me now is a guest who has actually gone through the beginning of the process and believes proper support is lacking, both in the explanation of transitioning as well as the detransitioning process, especially for those of a younger age. Joining me now is Ollie London, whose life story is fascinating for so many, and who now wants to take the lessons he's learned and try to help those who might be grappling with some of the same issues he has had. Ollie, thank you so much for joining me. It's just been a delight talking to you, getting ready for this. I want to give a little background. I'm going to start with, obviously, the gender transition. I think a question people always ask, what made you ultimately decide that you wanted to take that step?
I think my whole life I was so unhappy with who I was, the way I looked. When I used to look in the mirror as a teenager, I really hated myself. So it was kind of that self-hatred. I never felt accepted. People used to bully me for my looks. So that really led me to start my plastic surgery journey. And then I got to a point earlier this year where I was still so unhappy. I'd had dozens and dozens of surgery, covered in scars. I'm thinking, I'm not happy, you know, am I trapped in the wrong body? So I went for facial feminization surgery. I started looking more feminine. I got the hair extensions. I started wearing, you know, dresses, even in public. And I was still thinking, is this for me? And I was thinking, maybe the reason I'm unhappy is because I feel trapped in the wrong body. Maybe I'm meant to be trans. So, you know, I became trans for 6 months. I would go out in public in the dress and heels. And that wasn't fun wearing heels. It's not easy. So I did that. And then I just got to a point recently, a few months ago, where I was like, I'm still not happy. What am I missing in my life? So I started going to church. And that was when I realized, you know, I should just stay the way that God made me. Why am I doing this? You know, I am a man. I just want to be myself. I want to find myself. And I need to stop with all the crazy surgery. I need to stop, you know, trying to be something I'm not and just find happiness within.
If you could look back at yourself, you said that you were unhappy as a child. Talk to me about your upbringing, your background, your family. Did that have an impact, you think, on where that unhappiness was coming from?
So I actually had a really nice upbringing in the countryside in the UK. I went to a fantastic school. It was a Church of England school. So I had a great upbringing, but it was just as a teenager, when I used to go to school, people would bully me. Every single day, I would even make myself sick and physically throw up so I wouldn't have to go to school, so I wouldn't get bullied. So that was really where everything stemmed from. So it was the bullying, and then over time, just, you know, feeling rejected from society, you know, people just being cruel to me. So that's really why I wanted to change myself. And, you know, I wanted to start looking more like a K-pop star. And now, then I became like a trans woman. And then I realized, like, what am I doing to myself? This is not normal.
Talk about the reality after you started changing yourself. What was that like? Was that exactly what you were expecting?
I think when it comes to surgery and changing yourself, you get some surgery and then you feel happy for a short period of time. So it's almost temporary happiness. So I'd get the surgery, I'd be swollen, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, I look amazing. You know, even though I looked a little bit messed up, I think, wow, this looks good. And then after like 2 or 3 months, that feeling would wear off, the serotonin would disappear, and then I'd want more. So it's almost like an addiction, you know. People don't really talk about plastic surgery as an addiction, but it kind of is, you know, comparable to alcohol. Some people get addicted and they can't stop. And, you know, I'm thankful that I've got to this point now where I've found guidance going to church, I've found faith in Christianity, and that has really made me open my eyes and realize, you know, just be the way that God made me, you know, stop doing all this craziness. It's not natural, it's not normal, and it's not even giving me happiness.
So you talked about, as a kid, the mental aspects and the bullying. That's nothing new. But I think we can all agree that post-pandemic, that has been definitely something that's been even more redshift. As kids post-pandemic don't know how to socialize a lot with each other. That bullying has gotten worse. Online media has gotten worse with it. What is your advice to those kids on that side of it? It's going, how to handle it? How could you have handled it different?
So actually, when I grew up, there wasn't really social media. I do feel so sorry for kids these days. They have so much pressure on them. You know, a kid's go on Instagram, they'll get a bullying comment, you know, they'll get something nasty. Someone will send them hate about their appearance. And that has such a deep impact on a child's psychology. And, you know, I think parents need to be more aware. They need to be more careful of what their kids are looking at online, because, you know, there's dangerous things out there. Like on TikTok, you have influencers like Dylan Mulvaney, who is, I think, is a very dangerous influence to these people. Dylan is a 25-year-old.
I say, let's go with Dylan on this one, because Dylan's become a real recent thing where he is a man who has transitioned, not fully. He still hasn't gone through the surgeries, and he's doing his day-by-day count of being a woman and what he thinks being a woman is like. That being said, he's getting notoriety. He's actually been, and he was invited by Joe Biden, President Biden, to the White House, given that platform. What kind of danger do you think he introduces into the confusion of already some mentally challenged teenagers these days?
So I think, you know, Dylan has 8 million followers. A lot of those people are young people. So when they see something on TikTok, they almost want to become that person. They want to emulate that person. They think it's cool and trendy. And the danger with Dylan is Dylan actually started out as an actor and a comedy act. They used to parody women, they used to mock women, and then suddenly they realized that was lucrative, they could get a lot of views. So they continued with that, and now they're, you know, making hundreds of thousands of dollars from women and girls talking about days of girlhood, talking about going through puberty, which I think is a very dangerous thing for a 25-year-old male to say. But the fact that he was invited to the White House to speak about this, I think is just so wrong, and it sends such a bad signal to people in America.
He's doing such a superficial aspect, sort of the fun things you would think of being a girl would be. But this transition surgery is actually very, very hard. It's very, it involves a lot of different processes on it. When you were thinking about it, were the resources there, do you think, being honest about what transition surgery was? And if they weren't being honest with you as an adult, what do you think they're telling these youths?
So, yeah, I mean, if you look at the education system in America, if you look at the media, the narrative is that it's easy to transition, it's trendy, it's cool.
Just take a pill and guess what, you're the other gender.
But, you know, you don't see the resources out there online that say you're going to be stuck taking medication for your entire life. There's a lot of health issues with this, physical and mentally. There's a high suicide rate, high depression rate. People don't see this. It's all, you know, spoon-fed this narrative on the mainstream media that this is great, this is cool. We've got Dylan Mulvaney in the White House. You can be like this too. All you need to do is a bit of laser hair surgery, which is all Dylan's done, by the way. Just had the hair removed and that's it. She hasn't had surgery. Sorry, he hasn't done anything at all. No pills, no hormones, nothing. So, you know, it's a real danger and there's no resources out there. So I think the danger is kids are being pushed to do something that is trendy right now, but they don't realize the devastating impact it's going to have. You know, you have teenage girls in some states, they're under 16, they're having double mastectomies, which is like, it's like a horror movie. Like, how is that allowed to happen? You know, these medical boards, these hospitals performing this, they really should, you know, have their licenses revoked. I think it's child abuse.
Do you think this is all on purpose, though? Since you've been a part of that community, you've obviously talked with others in that community. Is that a part of the plan? I mean, we did find out that obviously hospitals are making a lot of money off of this transition. Do you think this deception is a part of it? And what role are these parents? Should they be held accountable for pushing this on their children? A lot of them making that decision for them.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an agenda out there. You know, 30 years ago, you might have a few people transitioning. Why has it suddenly, all of a sudden, become cool, become trendy? You've got, you know, tens of thousands of people transitioning, having puberty blockers, having HRT therapy. It's just gone crazy. And I think there's billions of dollars being made from these hospitals, from these medical institutes. And the education system is pushing this on kids. You have teachers being told, they don't even agree with it some of the time. They're being told to teach kids at the age of 5 about sexual reproductive organs, about changing your gender, about pronouns. I mean, what is going on? You know, they're making a lot of money from this, and it's just awful, and I really do hope it changes. And that's the reason I'm speaking up, because, you know, kids are easily influenced. You know, they might want to change as a kid, you know, but as an adult, they would have regretted that. They would have destroyed themselves. And I think if I can help save, you know, one child in America from going through this surgery, also to tell parents, you know, have a conversation with your child. Most of the time it's just a phase, it's gender dysphoria. Don't be even considering taking this child to get puberty blockers or, you know, surgery. They're just children, just let them live their lives.
But one of the things that are happening in America, we're seeing it obviously expand. That's, I think, being woke is a part of the biggest part export of the United States right now into other cultures that are still trying to hold on to their traditions. What is the danger of this? I mean, you're obviously from the UK. That's sort of like the United States. Are you seeing this possibly going international and more countries starting to adapt to it just like the US has?
Definitely. I think, you know, with globalization, with social media, everybody has access to see these things. So, you know, when you're seeing, America kind of sets the trend for the world. So when you're going on TikTok and you're seeing people like Dylan Mulvaney making it cool, you know, who really mocking women, but trying to make it easy and trendy that it's cool to transition, it's cool to change your pronouns. Other people in parts of the world, you know, want to be like that because America is a trendsetter. They think, okay, that's cool. I'm going to transition. I'm going to go to a doctor and do this. You know, they don't realize there's so many devastating consequences to this. So I definitely think, yeah, with globalization, social media is playing a huge role in pushing these to other countries. Thankfully, the UK is stricter than the US. They don't allow teenagers to have these surgeries anymore. And the health service has recently changed their guidance, basically saying it's wrong to be doing this to kids. So I hope America follows, and I hope the rest of the world, you know, doesn't go into this crazy wokeness, because it's just, you know, destroying livelihoods.
Do you think it's also about comfort and the fact that they're not comfortable with this idea, whether we're talking about the LGBTQ community? Is it fair to put the two together when you're talking on international, or are they two separate issues that need to be addressed?
I mean, I definitely think you could put it together internationally. I think the LGBT movement, you know, it used to be about just spreading love, letting people live their lives. Now I think that movement has been hijacked by the trans lobby. You know, there are people there pushing this agenda, pushing people to transition, making it a trend. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have this. Now you've got, you know, men self-identifying as women, going into restrooms, sexually assaulting women, and in some cases, rape. And, you know, if people speak up for these women, they are actually cancelled. J.K. Rowling, the famous author, cancelled for speaking up for women. So why are we allowing this very small minority of the population, you know, to hijack the LGBT community, to hijack, you know, this movement, and to try and push women, you know, into a corner and silence them and, you know, put women and girls at risk?
It kind of seems almost anti-feminist. That's what I always scratch my head with this on the side of it. We've worked so hard, at least in the United States, to get rights that obviously are coming kind of backtracking. But you have to also look at the comfort level that the United States is. It's almost like, once again, getting attention. Mm. Do you think these other cultures around the world, I know you travel, they actually are not comfortable with this type of situation? Is that a reflection on them, or is that actually them being good and sticking with the traditional roles of males and females within their countries?
Yeah, well, what you're talking about is kind of predominant in Asia. So Asia is very traditional. You know, China, Korea, Japan, they like to stick to the traditional male and female. You don't have all these pronouns. You've just got male and female. You know, they like to stick to that, you know, which I think is the right thing to do. I respect everyone however they want to identify, but I think, you know, they're right to do that. They're trying to protect traditional values and morals, and they also want the best for their citizens. You know, they don't want kids being, you know, messed up with mental health issues or physical health issues. You know, they just want everyone to succeed in work, in life, and everything. So, you know, I think they have a better kind of interest for their citizens, whereas, unfortunately, in this country, the trans lobby are just pushing these things on kids, and, you know, it's really gone out of control.
Well, ultimately, I think we've decided this wasn't, you know, you decided this wasn't the right choice for you. You went back to your natural born gender. What is your message to those right now who actually might be considering this gender transition surgery, something that they might not be hearing from anyone else?
Well, you know, a lot of kids do get confused, especially when they become a teenager, they go through puberty. People get confused, people aren't sure. People also, as their teenagers, have low self-esteem, they have low self-confidence, and they're also very easily influenced. So I would just say, you know, to the majority of these people, they are going through a phase in their life which will pass. As they get older, they will find comfort, they will find happiness in their own body, and they will learn to love and self-accept themselves. But, you know, please, to all the kids and teens watching this, you know, don't do something you're going to regret, you know, because some people will be happy, but most people will regret this, and most people will have health issues. So, you know, don't do something you'll regret, and don't listen to people pushing these ideas on you. Don't give in to social pressure. Just find comfort in yourself, you know, find God, and just be happy with who you were born as.
Well, gender was not the only transition that you were considering. There's another part as well, but it also has to do with what your career was, your career was as an artist. Now, after the break, we're going to talk more about this other choice that Ollie was making and why some people consider it to be racist. Stay with us.
In 1950, the USSR was returning to peaceful life, but the newspapers didn't report ongoing massacres in the Ukrainian SSR. According to intelligence, Ukrainian nationalists and the Ukrainian insurgent army, led by Roman Shugievich, perpetrated these atrocities.
Shugievich уже дошел до того, что он в обращениях писал, что убивайте, 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 то есть призывал просто убивать и миллионы.
Pavel Sudoplatov was the head of the NKVD sabotage department at the time. He was tasked with stopping the atrocities in Ukraine for a good reason. General Sudoplatov was very familiar with the situation. He'd had experience fighting the nationalists before the war.
At that time, I was already an experienced man. Experienced in the counter-intelligence area, especially in Ukraine.
The task was tremendously difficult, but Sudoplatov was determined to complete it. He had personal accounts to settle with the Ukrainian nationalists.
Волинь – это особая территория на Украине. Территория, все время находящаяся так или иначе под контролем противоборствующих сил. К 1939 году поляки составляли примерно 15-20% населения Волыни.
Когда был атак на Союз Советский, в том же атаку również брали уже два батальона украинских националистов.
Морды массовые, подчас которых нищено цели все Волынские, распочались в лютом 1943 года.
Они верили в то, что таким образом они движутся к созданию украинского государства, независимого, моноэтничного, такого, какое они хотели видеть.
Украинских националистов, то есть вообще донцов публиковал, там же не завахаще доконать жадные сбродки на своем противнику, если того вычеркнул добру Украину. И вообще, то есть огромная просьба своей жительности народа.
Welcome back. Ollie London is an artist, an influencer, and now starting to become an activist. And the last thing that we talked about was his transition in gender and going back to the natural state. But he also has decided to go down the path of transitioning to look more like his K-pop audience. Now, this was a bit controversial, and Ollie London joins us to continue this discussion. You're an artist. Artists are known for being very creative and trying to find ways to get attention. We're on the side. Plastic surgery actually is a billion-dollar industry with both men and women constantly trying to make themselves look different from how they were born. It's not a crime. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So how is what you were trying to do different from anyone else who just had a look that they preferred for themselves and they wanted to make themselves look like it?
I mean, I personally think what I do is the same as everyone else. When you're actually in Asia, all of the K-pop stars have plastic surgery. They want to have bigger noses, bigger eyes to look more Western. So it's a very normal thing. So, and you know, singers, a lot of singers do have plastic surgery to look better because, you know, when you're doing music videos, you want to look your best. For me in particular, I am obsessed with Korean culture and Korean music. I make my own Korean music. And, you know, it's important for me to have a certain look because my audience, they expect a certain look. You know, if I'm a K-pop singer, I need to look like a K-pop star. So, you know, I don't see anything wrong in what I'm doing. It's just the same as someone getting surgery in Asia to look more Western, which so many people do. So the fact that people try to call me racist or cultural appropriating, I just think is just crazy. It just shows how the wokeness has just gone absolutely mad. It's like, I'm not doing anything harmful. The Korean people actually think it's really sweet what I do. I'm appreciating their culture. One of the cities in Korea even asked me to be a cultural ambassador because they love me so much. So, you know, I'm promoting their culture. I'm probably promoting their plastic surgery industry as well. So, but you know, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. I think it's perfectly normal.
So have you taken the haters? I mean, like I said, we talked about the gender issue, but now you have, you're entering a whole new idea. They even went as far as to call you racist on it. Do you believe that they were just saying this just because haters are going to have haters?
I think haters just love to hate. You know, they see someone online that they take a dislike to, or they're just sad. You know, they're just sad with their lives. they're kind of losers. So they just take out their anger and frustration on other people. So they love to target me. You know, I'm different to other people. You know, I'm doing things that other people don't do, so they think it's okay to bully me, to target me, to send me death threats. I'm not doing anything racist. You know, everyone that knows me knows I'm not racist. I respect all people around the world. I don't judge people by their color. I don't judge people from where they're from. But these people are judging me. They are trying to say that I'm something that I'm not.
Okay, so you are a music artist, and artists thrive on this attention, whether it's organic or driven. I think a lot of the criticism about the transgender community is people like Kris Jenner are doing it just to get attention, seek some fame when it was starting to drop off. Do you think you still would have been compelled to make this transition, both in gender and nationality, if you were in a career path that did not involve the public spotlight, like an accountant?
I don't think so. You know, I feel like a lot of pressure to look a certain way. I make K-pop music. People expect a certain look. You know, all K-pop idols, pretty much 99%, they'll never admit it, by the way, they all have plastic surgery. They change their entire face. It's a normal part of the entertainment industry. Everyone has surgery. Look at the Kardashians, for example. So it's normal. So, you know, I feel like I do have this pressure to look a certain way. I need to maintain my look. So I did also feel a pressure to look prettier, to look more beautiful for my audience. So I guess that was part of the reason why I thought, you know, maybe I should be a woman, maybe I'll look better. And, you know, then I realized, no, it's really not for me. I didn't feel right. And, you know, I was just chasing perfection, which I know is unachievable. But, you know, everybody in the entertainment industry does it in Korea. It's so, so normal. But I don't get why people try to call me racist for having surgery. Everybody does it.
On that side of it. Well, and because of that, that caused a lot of hatred to come your way on the internet, which is obviously evolving, it's changing. Mm-hmm. They say they're trying to help and try to curtail some of this, you know, bullying that's happening. Do you believe it's actually the government's or even the private social media platforms their job to do? Or you think this is kind of just the excuse they're using to continue to chip away at people's rights, not only here domestically in the United States, but around the world?
Well, I really believe in freedom of speech, and I believe people should be able to express themselves however they feel. But, you know, I definitely think there needs to be something in place just to protect, you know, people from abuse. You know, I don't think it's right to send people death threats or harassment or hate, you know. I think, you know, social media does have a responsibility, especially when it comes to children. I think it's crazy, you know, all the kids are addicted to TikTok and stuff, which is fun.
We're addicted to TikTok.
You're addicted.
Well,
exactly.
You're, no, give me that, you are too.
Okay, I am too. But, you know, you have kids as young as 5 going on TikTok and stuff, and, you know, they get abuse, you know, they get hate, and that can lead to suicide, that can lead to severe consequences. So, you know, I think there needs to be some checks and balances, but at the same time, freedom of speech is so important, and it's so important to protect that. And I think some of these social media companies, especially Twitter before Elon Musk took over, they were trying to silence certain voices. So it wasn't about hate speech. They were trying to silence conservative voices that were just sharing their opinions, sharing what they believed in, which is totally wrong. And that's an attack on freedom of speech. But in terms of, yeah, protecting people, I think there needs to be some checks and balances for abuse, you know. You know, people that consistently abuse people online, I don't think they should be allowed to be using that particular platform because they're sending hate to someone, and this can have an impact on young people.
What you've spoken about, it's not anything that I think it's more common sense than controversial, and yet you're deemed as a very controversial figure. We were talking earlier about people that are willing to give you a chance to hear things, that to actually speak what you're saying. What are you finding the reception to your message? Because obviously it's against a certain narrative that's being pushed. Who's responding to you? Who's allowing you to let your voice be heard, to reach out?
So, you know, I always believe in sharing, you know, to help other people. So that's the reason I wanted to share my detransition story and, you know, help the millions of kids that are struggling across America. You know, and I've had such a great reception from the Christian community, from the conservative community, from the Republicans, which is amazing. And
were you a Republican going into this?
I do support the Republicans. You know, I support
even
freedom
growing
of speech.
Up, though, has your political views evolved with the way people have treated you?
You know, it's changed. I'm always very open minded. I'm kind of an independent thinker. But, you know, I feel what's going on in America right now. There's a real attack on democracy and freedom of speech. And I feel like the liberal and Democrats, you know, they are trying to silence certain voices. You know, they try to silence conservatives. And again, with detransitioning, you know, they don't want to talk about that. You know, NBC, CNN, they don't want to talk about that. They just want to talk about the positive success stories of a child transitioning and how amazing it is, how we should celebrate that. They're not talking about the kids that kill themselves because they're so unhappy with what they've done to themselves. So, you know, I'm very grateful to all the conservative outlets that have given me a platform. And I think the liberal media have an agenda to hide this. You know, there's a lot of money in pushing this trans ideology. There's a lot of lobbyists out there that are pushing this. So, you know, there's definitely the woke side. They don't want to talk about it. They want to silence people. You know, they're attacking these teenagers that are coming out on TikTok and saying they're detransitioning. 16-year-olds, these liberals, they're sending them abuse. They're telling them to kill themselves. How is that allowed? Whereas the conservatives are actually embracing people. You know, conservatives are not homophobic. They're not anything. They're just trying to help people. They want the best for everyone in America, you know, and that's why I appreciate everything that they've done. And so many people have reached out to me. You know, I'm all about freedom of speech. These people just want to protect the kids. They want to protect the children from doing something that's regrettable. And I'm all for that. And I think it's wrong that the mainstream media, you know, like CNN and stuff, are trying to silence these voices.
This has been a fascinating conversation. And I really appreciate you joining us and giving us kind of this little insight into the journey and how it's affected you.
Thank you very much. God bless.
So this has been your 360 View. Thanks for watching.